Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. You're listening and watching Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined today on the live blog by Jamie Jors, our live blog director today, approving your comments. And we're getting ready for a Green Bay Packers game against the Kansas City Chiefs this upcoming Sunday, this upcoming weekend. And to talk about that game and all things Green Bay Packers, right now to kick off the show, we have Nathan Yonke of Pro Football Focus joining us on the phone. Nathan, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. How about you?
Fantastic. We got Nathan to provide his Pro Football Focus unique brand of analysis, as he does every Wednesday here on Railbird Central. And we're going to start by looking back at the Packers' win over the Raiders this past Sunday. Running back Ryan Grant had one of the best performances he's had this year. Is this the real Ryan Grant, Nathan?
What I found with Grant's performance is it was better than what we've seen from him earlier in the season. His statistics, he had just 10 carries for 85 yards, with 53 of them coming after contact, for 2 touchdowns and 2 players missed tackles on him. Those numbers are a little misleading since over half of his yards came on one carry, but it was still a solid game for him in terms of him running the ball. However, we did notice with Starks being out, Ryan Grant did a lot more in pass protection than he usually does. And in that, he allowed 2 sacks, so that's something that we don't want to see in the future.
Speaking of allowing sacks, along the offensive line, the Packers did some shuffling at left tackle with both Marshall Newhouse and Derek Sherrod. How do we judge these 2 tackles?
In this game, they were pretty even. Sherrod allowed a sack and a pressure on just 16 pass blocks, which isn't something you'd like to see, although it was against a very good pass rusher. Von Newhouse did similar. I think he allowed a hit and a pressure. So I think seeing these 2 is going to be something we'll see a lot of going into the rest of the season, because the Packers have a lot of good pass rushers left on their schedule, including the players he might face in the playoffs.
The Packers are learning to deal without wide receiver Greg Jennings right now. What might we expect to see out of the Packers as they try to make up for this loss?
Something that I would expect to see a lot more in these next 3 weeks is more multiple tight end sets. That's something that the Packers did once Jennings went out in this game, which partially was due to the blowout. But in the last game, DJ Williams had 19 snaps, Tom Crabtree had 16, and Ryan Taylor had 14. And with the contract situation with JerMichael Finley, as well as the injury to Andrew Corliss, which could last into next season, the Packers really want to see what they have out of their other 3 backup tight ends, so they know going into the future as well as into the playoffs. So I think it won't be any particular receiver that will be seeing more snaps. I think it will change what the Packers do on offense altogether.
We're being joined by Nathan Yonke of Pro Football Focus here on Railbird Central. Turning to the defensive side of the football, Nathan, linebacker DJ Smith was a breath of fresh air for the Packers this past week, really turning in a surprising performance against the Raiders. What did you make out of his performance?
We thought DJ Smith had an excellent game. For every game that we watch, we give someone the game ball, and Smith got the game ball in this one. Most impressed me is how he played in coverage. The Raiders seemed like they wanted to target him, as he was targeted 8 times, which was more than any other Packer. But he only allowed 6 catches for 33 yards, and only one of those balls resulted in a first down. And he also had an interception to help make up for some of those catches. And not only was he well in coverage, but when he was blitzing the quarterback, he had 4 pressures on 20 pass rushes, which is a good ratio. And in run defense, he also played above average, having a tackle for no gain as well as a tackle for a short gain. So how he did in this game is better than what we've seen out of Hawk in any individual game in all the years that we've been grading him from 2008 on.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. And I might say Robert Francois did a pretty good job too. Maybe not quite as good as DJ Smith, but those injury replacements at inside linebacker doing pretty well. But turning to the secondary, what can we say about the Packers' cornerbacks?
The cornerbacks had an interesting game against the Raiders, since we saw the exact opposite of what we're used to seeing. It was Tremont Williams who had a poor game, allowing 5 catches for 100 yards, while Sam Shields, who has been struggling more this year than he did in his rookie year, didn't allow a single ball to be caught out of the 4 balls thrown his way and had an interception. While Charles Woodson, who is typically the player who plays in between the two, did so again, allowing just 2 catches for 27 yards and also having an interception in the pass defense. So that was one of Woodson's better games that we've seen from him this year.
The Packers get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday without head coach Todd Haley, who was fired on Monday. What can we expect to see out of the new-look Chiefs?
I would expect the Packers to win this game in a blowout. There isn't too much that should scare Packer fans, especially with this quick transition to a new coach. On the offensive side of the ball for Kansas City, the only player that should worry the Packers whatsoever is Dwayne Bowie. And he lines up out wide rather than in the slot 89% of the time, so I would expect Tremont Williams to be covering him all day and doing a good job doing so. We're on the defensive side of the ball. They have a pass rusher, Tom Bahali, who last year was one of the best defensive players in the league. He hasn't been playing as well this year with 9 sacks, 9 hits, and 30 pressures, but he should be a problem for whoever's playing left tackle if they decide to rotate again or just go with Newhouse. So that would probably be the biggest problem the Packers have to deal with. And in terms of the Packers throwing the ball, the Chiefs' cornerbacks are all above-average players, but their linebackers are weak at coverage as well as the safety, so I would expect a big game out of JerMichael Finley in the middle of the field.
I think Packer fans hope you're right. Nathan, thank you for joining us. Would you please, for those who aren't too familiar, just give us a little bit of insight into what Pro Football Focus does?
Sure. What we do is we analyze every single player on every play in every game. Before I came on, and what I'll be doing afterwards, is I'm watching the Tampa Bay Jacksonville game and marking down every player, where they lined up on the play, and what they did on the play. So if a defender was either in coverage or rushed the quarterback, or if they were playing run defense. And then we also have someone grade players on every play on an intense grading scale, as well as mark down a bunch of statistics that you can't find anywhere else. So we have the most intense scouting reports of every player that is playing in the league, regardless of what position they play.
Fantastic. Nathan, thank you again for joining us this week and every week here on Railbird Central. And take care, and we'll talk to you again after the Packers take on the Chiefs.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here on Railbird Central. Good morning, everyone, as we get ready for this Chiefs game this weekend. So, your comments are being approved today on our live blog. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, all those comments are being approved. And let's get right to it. I got a few opinions I want to throw out today after talking to Nathan Yonke. And if you want to share yours too, by all means, call into the show, area code 646-797-2909. But I wanted to kick things off today about talking about playing to win, playing to be undefeated. I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links at the top of the live blog. If you want to click that open and follow along, today's top story is about the Packers working out Tyrell Sutton, former running back who was with the Packers in training camp in 2009, and I think that's kind of the top story today in terms of headlines that might grab a little bit of attention. But a little further down, what I really wanted to talk about was a column in the Green Bay Press Gazette by Mike Vandermaus, who says the Packers should play to win, play to go undefeated. And no offense to anything Mr. Vandermaus writes in his column, but I just wanted to share my own two cents in terms of, you know, whether, you know, there's kind of this whole controversy whether you play to win, you play to go undefeated, or you rest your players so they don't get hurt before the playoffs. Many teams have been in this position before. You know, the last team was undefeated at this late in the season, the New England Patriots of 2007, that went undefeated in the regular season but lost in the Super Bowl. You know, they're sitting there late in the year kind of debating whether to go for it or not. Before that, the Indianapolis Colts in, what year was that, 2005? I forget off the top of my head. But right around there, you know, undefeated late in the season, and they decide to rest their starters instead late in the year. And now the Packers are in this position, and, you know, everybody's debating, do you win or do you rest your starters? And here's my take on it, and that's that Mike McCarthy should prepare every player to start and win the game. You know, prepare as if you're going to win the game, but when the game actually rolls around, I don't know, as if they play the whole time. Obviously, home field advantage is still at stake. Nothing is going to change this week against the Chiefs. The Packers are going to play to win. Aaron Rodgers and all the good players on the team, the ones that they have a lot of money invested into and who are good players, like Clay Matthews and Charles Woodson and Jermichael Finley, they're all going to be out there playing their hardest this weekend against the Chiefs, because they got to clinch home field advantage. But assuming the Packers win, and I know it can be dangerous counting your eggs before they hatch, but we just had Nathan Yonke of Pro Football Focus on the show saying he predicts the Packers aren't going to have a very hard time, and I would say there's a lot of people out there who agree with them. The Chiefs are in a little bit of I don't know if I'd call it turmoil, but, you know, just firing their head coach and not having a very good season, and a lot of their best players are injured, so they have some issues. And also at the quarterback position, we could be looking at Ricky Stanzi, a rookie starting at quarterback for the Chiefs. We will see. But anyway, so the Chiefs don't expect to put up much of a fight, so the Packers looking to be 14-0. After the season, I would think, you know, if forced to guess, predict, most people would think the Packers are going to win. So let's just assume they do for the sake of argument. And the Packers are 14-0. And now you've got two basically meaningless games to end the regular season against the Bears and the Lions, at least in terms of what they mean for seeding and things like that in the playoffs. And they don't mean anything. I mean, you can say all you want about how important it is for the Packers to bring momentum in the playoffs, and it could be important in that way. And I just think you prepare to win. I think week 15, or game 15, week 16 technically, including the bye, against Chicago, you prepare your team to win. Aaron Rodgers prepares to be the starter. All the key playmakers, as long as they're healthy, you know, should prepare to play that game and come out that day against the Chicago Bears. Jermichael Finley, Charles Woodson, Clay Matthews, you know, every player who's somebody who's healthy, like those players I mentioned are right now at least, they should prepare to win. They should prepare to play. Now, if it's the case where it is the fourth quarter in a close game, you know, and it by chance the game happens to be up in the air, I am not quite so sure that you play Aaron Rodgers in that fourth quarter trying to win the game. That's not saying you shouldn't try to win. That is just saying that maybe Matt Flynn tries to win instead of Aaron Rodgers. You know, I think you start, so you're keeping the players in the groove. You're keeping them mentally fresh, mentally sharp, mentally ready. You know, you're keeping them in that same consistent pattern you've built all season long, not getting them out of their element. They're practicing, they're playing, they're staying in the groove. But just when push comes to shove, when the game is on and it's the fourth quarter, well, maybe you don't play Aaron Rodgers, you don't play JerMichael Finley, you don't play Clay Matthews, you don't expose those guys to injury late in the game. You still play to win. The backups still play to win. No doubt about it. You try your hardest, and it's not like you just run the ball to run out the clock or something like that. But I do think it's you know, you got to keep your key guys healthy, especially Aaron Rodgers. I mean, boy, it would be tough to swallow Aaron Rodgers getting hit in the fourth quarter, being sacked, being hit by opposing pass rushers. I mean, can you imagine it right now? In week 16 and 17, Brian Urlacher coming free on a fourth quarter blitz coming at Aaron Rodgers, or Ndamukong Suh. Think about that for a second. There will be a lot of attention than that in a few weeks, but you know, it's just not something I personally want to see. I don't want him to be exposed to injury as a fan, because I do think the Packers, can't afford to lose a player like Aaron Rodgers, especially him and others. So, it's tough. It's tough. Right here, lots of comments coming in on the live blog here, and I'll run through some of them. Taryn for 12. As long as the Packers don't play reckless to achieve 16-0, but smart as they have all season to date. That's one. Kevin says Detroit game will be tough. They'll be fighting for a playoff spot. And here you go. Here's an interesting one. I fully expect the Packers to go 16-0, as well as Aaron Rodgers break Dan Marino's passing record and Brady's TD record. Foot on the gas all the way to Indy. That's the comment from Kyle Cousineau on the live blog. So there you go. I mean, there's kind of that to, factor in as well. There's so many records on the line here that could be broken perhaps in week 17. You got the not only the undefeated record where the Packers going 16-0 and attempting eventually 19-0 to win the Super Bowl, and the first team ever to go 19-0. But you know, you've got these records, and especially Aaron Rodgers, is staring in the face at a lot of these. He did to break Dan Marino's passing record, his touchdowns record, not Dan Marino's, but Tom Brady's, and completion percentage record. I mean, albeit Aaron Rodgers could beat that record without having to play, but you do have to play if you're going to beat the passing record and the touchdown record. And, I don't think you keep Aaron Rodgers in the game to break those records just for the sake of breaking them. It'd be nice. I mean, I'd love to see it as well. No doubt about it. I hope he does. But I just don't think, if the game's close in the fourth quarter, I especially against that Lions game late in the game, when it's just, moments before the playoffs begin, I just don't think you can keep him in there strictly to try to break record, things like that. Unfortunate as it might be to see him coming up short, but I'll take him being healthy instead. But I think he should start the game. I just think you keep players in that consistent groove, the pattern that they become accustomed to all season long. So I think that's the way you approach it if you're a head coach. But who am I? I'm certainly not a head coach in the NFL. And I'm probably very unqualified to be one as well. And I'm sure the coaches from the Packers would probably laugh at my opinions. But anyhow, that's what we can debate here on Railbird Central in terms of the Packers attempting to go undefeated or not. A couple columns coming from the Green Bay Press Gazette today. Also, a column from Pete Doherty saying the Packers will need Greg Jennings in the playoffs. And again, I have nothing against what Pete Doherty wrote, and And I just kind of wanted to throw my two cents into the whole Greg Jennings thing, and that's kind of the title for today's show here on our live blog, Railbird Central Life Sans Jennings. The Packers are trying to prepare for life without Greg Jennings, at least for the rest of the regular season. Greg Jennings hurt his knee in the last game against the Raiders, has a sprained knee, going to be out 2 to 3 weeks is the word from Mike McCarthy. You have to imagine the Packers are going to hold out Greg Jennings the remainder of the regular season and let him get healthy all the way to that divisional playoff game they'll host at home in the NFL playoffs. So, I think debating about how the Packers are going to do without Jennings is almost like a moot point. It's, for me, it's like, who cares? None of these games really count. You know, it would take, there's one thing at stake that's left, and that is home field advantage. And, you know, it doesn't even technically take the Packers to win that. All it's going to take, I believe, is one 49ers loss. And, the Packers don't even technically need to win to wrap that up. So there's a good chance they could wrap it up anyway if they lose. And, you know, I just think that, you know, debating how the Packers are going to do without Jennings, who's going to step up. I kind of interested in seeing it, I suppose, as it plays itself out. But I mean, I don't really care who steps up. It doesn't really matter to me because these games are essentially meaningless. You know, I would like to see the Packers go undefeated, but if they lose their last three games, so be it, I suppose. I think that'd be a poor way to enter the playoffs, but I mean, I think it's obviously more imperative that especially you keep injured guys healthy, guys like Greg Jennings, who are, you know, not even, we can sit here and talk about should they sit Aaron Rodgers. Well, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Greg Jennings are kind of in different categories right now. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is healthy. Greg Jennings is not. The guys who are injured, you have to keep them healthy. You know, the Desmond Bishops, the Chad Cliftons, the Greg Jennings, those guys should sit until they're healthy. I mean, that's the way it is. Comment from Kevin on the live blog. Packers need one player, A-Rod. It all starts and ends with him. You know, it's I don't really care what the Packers do without Greg Jennings. Who steps up? Who gets more targets? It's a moot point. You know, these games are essentially meaningless the remainder of the regular season. Essentially, you know, like I said, at least in terms of seeding for the playoffs and things along those lines, they're meaningless. And be interesting to see if they get Randall Cobb more touches, more involved with the offense, but it's not like, you know, things are going to be back to normal come the playoffs. Things are going to be back to normal as long as Greg Jennings is healthy, as, you know, we kind of expect him to be. Let's just say, for example, Randall Cobb steps up and all of a sudden has 200-yard games to end the season or something like that. Well, great. Good for him. I mean, come the playoffs, Greg Jennings is back, and it's not like you're going to all of a sudden, you know, say Greg Jennings isn't a threat anymore, or he's been replaced by Randall Cobb, or anything along those lines. I mean, Greg Jennings is Greg Jennings. As long as he can get back to the same speed and he's relatively healthy, he's going to be one of the main players for the Packers, the focus of opposing defenses, and they'll try to game plan him out of the game. And, you know, even if they do, well, that opens up things for other players as it has all season long, the Jordy Nelsons and the Jermichael Finleys. So, you know, there's kind of been a little bit of debate this week, speaking of Jermichael Finley, about not doing as well as expected this season. Anybody else think that way? Jermichael Finley hasn't met your expectations this year. I'm not sure exactly what I expected from Jermichael Finley, but I know I haven't been disappointed in his production. Been disappointed with a couple drops, especially the Giants game there when he dropped a couple, and it was disappointing. But I mean, if we're looking at the season on the whole, I'm not sure I'm disappointed in what JerMichael Finley has brought to the team. I think he's done his job. He's been healthy, and I tell you what, I tweeted this yesterday. I think it's remarkable just his recovery from injury, how he's come back from injury and basically look like he hadn't even been injured last season, season-ending knee injury a year ago. I think that in itself is rather remarkable. Just hasn't missed a step really since the season began. They kind of eased him back into action, if you remember, back in training camp. Missed some preseason action and practice in training camp, but I mean, regular season starts, he's practicing every day and doing things like that. So, I think JerMichael Finley's done well, and he could be with or without Greg Jennings, he can be a explode at any time. It wouldn't surprise me at all any game to see JerMichael Finley have 100 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns. So that's my thoughts on JerMichael Finley. We got some comments here on the live blog. Kevin says, I thought they would target Finley more in the red zone, but he has had a decent season. The drops both me a bit, bothers me a bit. Brad Stanley asked a question. Do you think mentally his drops are a result of him trying to avoid a hit? Good question there. I've thought perhaps that's gone through my mind as well, but I would say it's more concentration. Not to say that he might not hear the footsteps once in a while, but there's certainly been times too where he's been wide open and has dropped the ball as well. So, there's that to take into effect as well. Question from Kevin on the live blog. Does Clifton start once he's healthy? I do think so. I think as long as Chad Clifton is healthy, he does get the start. And, that's not to say the job is his, totally. I think if he comes back, and he plays poorly, well, you can pull him too. Marshall, you can put Marshall Newhouse back in there, certainly. So I think you give Chad Clifton the first shot. And again, I think we're talking about here Chad Clifton, this being his last hurrah. This is it. Is there anybody out there who doesn't think Chad Clifton will retire or if he didn't want to retire, be cut at season's end? Seriously, is there anybody who doesn't think this is the last season with the Packers? I have to think this is it for Chad Clifton. This season, when it's all over and done with, no matter if the Packers win the Super Bowl or not, he's got a Super Bowl ring under his belt, or I suppose I could say on his finger. So he's won a Super Bowl, earned it last year, and could earn another one with the Packers this year, depending on how the rest of the season plays out. But I personally have to think that Chad Clifton will be done, and that'll be it. But regardless of the fact, I think you do give him a shot if he is healthy. And if he's not up to the task, well, you pull him for Marshall Newhouse. And nothing against Chad Clifton. I mean, thanks for all his years of service, and especially last year. Chad Clifton was as valuable as anybody last year in the run-up to the Super Bowl. As valuable as anybody, did such a great job late in the season protecting the blind side of Aaron Rodgers. That 6-game winning streak, when you're talking about the last 2 games of the regular season and the 4 games in the playoffs, wow. Chad Clifton just stonewalled all opposing pass rushers. Fantastic. So, anyhow, Thank you, everybody, for joining us here on Railbird Central this morning. That's it for Railbird Central this week. No episode of Railbird Central on Friday morning. Sorry to disappoint. I am celebrating Christmas with my family this weekend, so I'll be on the road on Friday and won't be able to host an episode of Railbird Central. But everything else stays the same. Everything else should be as normal around here at Cheesehead TV. Make sure to come back for our game coverage on Sunday. Jamie Jors, can we get a preview of what's happening on Cheesehead Radio? I assume it's back on Thursday once again, so if you can inform everybody about that. And I leave you today with a song called Nothing Too Fancy by Umphrey's McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. Have a good week, everyone. Have a good weekend, and go Pack Go. We will see you all later.